Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You may think you know yourself pretty well, but your brain is a tricky organ. We often fool ourselves into believing that we're in control of our thoughts and actions. Yet there's plenty of research that says otherwise, revealing the unconscious patterns that drive human behavior, the biases that shape our choices, and the triggers that direct the course of our relationships. Exploring this research and reporting on the complexities of the hidden brain is what our next guest has built his career around.
Shankar Vedantam is a science correspondent for NPR who focuses on human behavior and the social sciences. He's the host of the NPR weekly podcast, The Hidden Brain, which has explored topics as diverse as why boredom is unbearable, the art of forgery, and what drives romantic relationships besides love. He's the author of the book, The Hidden Brain, How Our Unconscious Minds Elect Presidents, Control Markets, Wage Wars, and Save Our Lives.
Welcome to Take Care, Shankar. Thank you so much for joining us.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
As we said, your focus is on human behavior and social interactions, especially the biases and influences that we have trouble seeing in ourselves. What led you to concentrate your reporting in this area, and what is your background?
I have a background in science. I was trained as an engineer, and then I drifted into journalism, and so I drifted into science journalism. I covered medicine and health for many years, but over the years, I gradually realized that the most fascinating stories that I was covering almost all had to do with the brain and had to do with behavior. And I would say over the course of 20 years, I've gradually shifted my focus so that it's exclusively looking at the patterns of how we behave and why we do what we do. And I have to say that in many ways, the motivation is sort of an internal motivation, which is that I think of myself as being a very conscious and deliberate and rational person. And so when I came by all this research that said, you just think you're rational, but you actually aren't behaving rationally, I was captivated by it, and I continue to be fascinated by it every day.
You have a book, The Hidden Brain, so you coined the phrase. Most of us think about the subconscious brain, but why did you decide the hidden brain?
I chose the word the hidden brain partly because I think there is a lot of associations with Freudian psychology when we think about the subconscious. So people have talked about hidden forces that affect people for probably hundreds, if not thousands of years. And in recent times, you know, the last 100 years or so, Sigmund Freud is probably the most popular and well-known person who has talked about the idea of these unconscious forces that affect us every day. And Freud talked a great deal about the subconscious. A lot of what I focused on are ideas that I think have been developed more recently over the last 15 or 20 years. And they have some similarities with Freud's ideas, but they also depart from Freudian thinking in some very important ways, chief among which are that all of the work that's been done that I focus on in the last 15 or 20 years is really grounded in empirical research, grounded in things that you can actually study and things that you can actually measure. And the unconscious mind that has been painted by this research agenda in the last 20 years in some ways is quite different from the unconscious mind that Freud suggested. So Freud thought of his subconscious as being this, you know, seething mass of impulses and forces that change and shape how we behave. And the modern view, if you will, of sort of looking at the unconscious mind suggests a much more mundane process, things that have actually potentially functional use in our lives, you know, biases and habits and heuristics that help us in one domain but can undermine us as we're doing other things.
You bring up a good point because there is plenty of research out there, but there are not a lot of channels or avenues or reporters who focus specifically on this area. So the hidden brain is doing something that is not commonplace. I know I mentioned to some people that we were going to be speaking with you, and they got all excited and perked up. So we want to hear about ourselves and what it is that drives and motivates us.
I think so. And I think the idea that you can actually think of science as not being remote and inaccessible, but talking about things that affect everyday people, talking about things that affect your behavior, how you interact with colleagues in a cafeteria, how your child reacts to you when she comes home from school at the end of the day, that involve how you think about politics and politicians. These are the things that occupy almost all of our daily lives. And the idea that you can think about them with a certain degree of precision and a certain degree of, you know, empirical attachment, if you will, I think is very powerful, but it's also very interesting.
How do you choose your topics for the podcast and for the segments that air on NPR that we hear?
So I read very, very widely in the academic literature. I read, you know, a couple hundred journals, actually, and I'm sort of skimming some of them and reading the abstracts. Sometimes I just read the headlines. I don't read the abstract. Sometimes I read the headline and the abstract. Sometimes I read the abstract and the whole paper. And when I come by things that I think are interesting or things that have sort of moved the field forward or amplify an idea or bring it to fruition in some important way, what I do is I file it away. I have sort of an internal filing system where I keep track of interesting things that I'm reading. And then a lot of the time what I try and do is I try and see things that are happening in the news and say, is there a way to connect what's topical and relevant to people's lives at that moment with this larger body of work that is based on, you know, academic research and empirical analysis? And the best stories really are at the sweet spot of those two things. They actually are rigorous and interesting and thought-provoking, but they're also topical and relevant so that people can actually say, here's an idea that I can take and actually apply in my own life.
What topics resonate with listeners the most? I'm sure as you travel through your own life, people do give you feedback. Are there any subjects that were particularly popular and excited a lot of listeners?
You know, a lot of subjects do, and I've heard from a lot of people who really like the stories that I'm doing on NPR. The interesting thing is that I find it very difficult to predict what people will actually like. In this regard, that's a little social science experiment all of its own. There was a story I did for NPR some years ago that looked at research looking at performance when it comes to everyday activities. And it was making the point that really, you know, most of us think that performance is distributed on what's called a bell curve or a normal distribution where, you know, a few of us are very bad at something and a few of us are very good at something and most of us are in the middle or are average. And this study was really making the case that really that's not the way human performance is designed in most domains. What you have is a few people who are really spectacularly good at doing something and the vast majority of us are really below average. So it's a sort of a dispiriting idea. It's not that the vast majority of us are average, but the vast majority of us might actually be below average because the ends are sort of weighted so much by these people who are the superstars. And I would have thought that that sort of is an academic paper that sort of remote from people's lives. But I remember the feedback on that story was just enormous. And I think people sort of applied that to all manner of different things. You know, when they look at sports and they look at politics, when they look at their own behavior, productivity in the workplace, there are lots of ways you can take that idea and apply it to your own life. And I think people saw resonances with that idea in different things in their own life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And our guest today is Shankar Vedantam. He's a science correspondent for NPR who focuses on human behavior and the social sciences. He is host of the NPR weekly podcast, The Hidden Brain. Shankar, you mentioned the bell curve and the fact that you got a lot of good response on that from the audience. And I remember that particular piece because it broke through the prevailing ideas of how we think a bell curve functions. You introduced some things that I don't think were common knowledge at the time. But you were saying you can't always predict what's going to be big with listeners. In terms of your own interests, not taking the audience into account, what are some of the stories that have stuck with you over the years? What are your favorites?
Yeah, you know, there's something curious that I find, which is that very often it's the story that I'm working on at that moment that I actually think of as being the most interesting story in the world. I mean, a lot of people listen to my stories on NPR and they say one of the things that they like is that I get wildly enthusiastic about the stuff that I'm talking about. But, you know, the truth is it's not an act. It actually is genuine enthusiasm. I often find that the things that I'm working on at any given moment I find so interesting so that it's harder for me to look back and sort of say, you know, this is the interesting things that I did. And I find these really fascinating because I feel every one of these subjects speaks to things that people do in their everyday lives. It speaks to things in their everyday behavior. And it really does excite me on a personal level when I can find a story that I think resonates with people and where they are in their daily lives.
In covering the findings that have emerged in the social science field, and you mentioned that you just read so many studies and journals, are there things that stick out that really have surprised you?
You know, all the time. In fact, I think one of the great pleasures of my job is I feel like I am learning something almost every day, that I'm learning new ideas every day. You know, just the idea that so much of our minds operate outside of our conscious awareness. You know, I've written a book about that subject, but at an intuitive level, it still feels amazing to me because I don't feel like my mind operates that way. I feel like I am consciously aware of how my mind is operating and what I'm doing and why I'm reaching one conclusion rather than another. I feel like when I pick a presidential candidate to vote for, I am doing that because I have thought really, really carefully about all of the issues. And the fact now that there are several warehouses filled with studies that suggest that in all manner of different ways, people's judgments and their perceptions and their behavior is shaped by these factors that lie outside of their conscious awareness, I mean, that still feels like a, you know, a dazzling idea. It feels like an idea that sort of is a revolutionary idea because on a day-to-day level, it does not intuitively feel like that's the case. I've also been really fascinated in recent years by thinking about different elements of performance and how to sort of measure performance, how to judge performance, how to predict performance. I think this is something that a lot of companies are really fascinated in, a lot of institutions are really fascinated in. If you're a Hollywood studio, for example, you want to know which movie of mine is going to do well at the box office. And the truth is, in 2016, even with all of the research and thinking that's gone into it, it's a really hard thing to predict. What's going to do well? I'm telling you that I don't know, for example, which stories of mine are going to do well. That is sort of a very small example of a much larger problem, which is how can you make predictions about the future that you can actually trust?
Anyone who covers science, medicine, human behavior can't help but be influenced by what he or she learns. So, what changes have you made in your own life because of what you've learned about the hidden brain?
So I will give you one very specific example. One of the things that I've learned as I've been writing about the hidden brain is the difference between focusing on what's urgent versus what's important. So in day-to-day life, we have different things that are urgent and different things that are important. So, for example, it's important for me to try and make time today to exercise. But if I don't exercise today, I'm probably not going to fall down with a heart attack tomorrow, right? It's an important thing, but if it doesn't get done on any one day, it's not as if things come to a sudden end. On the other hand, there are things that are urgent every day, so I have to get, you know, my podcast recorded and scripted and done, and that has to be done on a very fixed schedule because it's urgent, and it tells me that if I don't do it on this day, things are going to fall apart. So what happens is, on a routine basis, I and everyone else tend to prioritize the urgent over the important. So we prioritize the things that have to get done that day over the things that are really important but don't actually have to get done on that given day. And knowing that this is the case, what I try and do now is I try and say it actually requires an act of conscious will, conscious, you know, deliberate effort to say, I'm actually going to make time each day for the things that are important. Because if I don't make time for the things that are important, the urgent will simply swamp the important and I will never get to the things that actually are important.
All right, I have to ask this one quick question. Hope you can give a quick answer. You have reported on human behavior for decades, and you must have some insight that few of us have. So if you could push a button and make a universal across-the-board change, influence all of us to do one thing differently, what would that be?
I think it would be to try and make decisions for our future selves rather than make decisions for our present selves. Human beings in general make much better decisions when they're thinking about what they should be doing a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. And to set up your life so that you're making more decisions thinking about your future self in mind rather than your present self, I think eliminates or addresses a whole host of unconscious biases.
Shankar Vedantam is a science correspondent for NPR who focuses on human behavior and the social sciences. He is the host of the NPR weekly podcast, The Hidden Brain, and he's the author of the book, The Hidden Brain, How Our Unconscious Minds Elect Presidents, Control Markets, Wage Wars, and Save Our Lives. Thank you for joining us today on Take Care.
Lorraine and Linda, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.